Welcome to the cutting edge world of AI and healthcare, a video podcast discussing artificial intelligence and the potential benefits and downsides of these technologies for the entire healthcare industry, including the impact on the future of medicine and patient care. From improving patient safety in the operating room to streamlining administrative tasks, AI is revolutionizing how we approach common healthcare challenges. In this video podcast series, we bring you thought-provoking discussions, insightful interviews, and expert analyses from leading voices in healthcare. I'm your host, David Feldman, Chief Medical Officer for The Doctor's Company and Healthcare Risk Advisors, part of TDC Group. On today's episode, we're delighted to welcome Teodor Grantcharov, Professor of Surgery at Stanford University and Associate Chief Quality Officer for Innovation and Safety at Stanford Healthcare. Teodor is also founder of Surgical Safety Technologies Incorporated, an academic startup that commercializes the OR Black Box platform. This is the Leading Voices in Healthcare podcast. So let's begin. Teodor, you spent many years both in training as a bariatric surgeon and also obtaining a PhD in medical sciences. What drew you to surgical safety and the concept of an OR Black Box?
Hi, David. First of all, thanks for having me on the podcast today. I've been in this field for more than 20 years now, and I clearly remember when I started my training, that was in Copenhagen in Denmark, and performing my first laparoscopic procedure and feeling that nobody could do this procedure better than me anywhere in the world. Until the day I saw the video of the procedure, and it was embarrassing. Mm. I'm sure you'll relate to that. I feel the same way now when I'm trying to improve my golf game. Even though I feel that I made a great shot, but when my coach takes a video of me and I look at myself later on, I feel so many things that I can and should do better. So that was my first experience with video analysis and objective data and critical self-reflection. Later on, a few years later, I started my PhD in Denmark, and the focus of my PhD was to develop virtual reality systems that can measure the skill of the operating surgeon. And the shocking part of that for me was, there were two shocking experiences at that point. One is the massive variability in skill and performance of surgeons. And second was the fact that a subset of surgical trainees failed to demonstrate any learning curve. So no matter how much they practiced, their performance never met the standards that we had established. So that made me think that there is a problem in the operating room that we need to examine deeper. That was also the time when we started gathering more data on outcomes and finding for the first time that there was a tremendous variability in outcomes. So on one side, I had some evidence that there is variability in skill and performance in the operating room. And on the other side, we could see that there was variability in the outcomes. So the natural question was, what is the link between these two? And I wanted to establish that link. I wanted to study the impact of intraoperative factors on clinical outcomes. But I found quickly out that that wasn't possible just because we didn't have data from this most secretive environment in modern society, which is the surgical operating theater. So that's why I wanted to do something similar to what other high-risk industries have done, like aviation, nuclear, oil, military. And that's how the idea of black box came. So that was late 90s, early 2000s. So I've been working on this project since then.
For a long time. Nothing happens quickly in the world of healthcare, right?
Nothing happens quickly. You know, we better be patient and we better be persistent. Yeah. Otherwise, we will see a lot of disappointments.
Which is tough for a surgeon. We're into immediate gratification, right?
Yes, that's true. But very, very difficult for us.
Yes, indeed. So look, you know this, right? Many physicians have concerns about comparing caring for patients with flying a plane. No, it's very different. This is not like flying a 747. So why do you think the black box concept that's so widely used in the airline industry has applicability in healthcare? What's the translations? What do you tell these doctors?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can feel that a lot of my colleagues are getting fatigued by these comparisons between aviation and surgery. Obviously, we are not pilots and our patients are not airplanes. The operating room is a very different environment, very complex environment. But there are a few parallels here. And one of them is the cultural aspects of building high reliability organization. And it doesn't matter whether it's healthcare, aviation, nuclear, oil, or any other industry, the cultural principles are very similar. I think there are two major components here. One is measurement. Do we know what matters and can we measure it? And two, can we create this cultural environment where we can learn how to tolerate error and tolerate failure and understand that usually it's a result of a system rather than an individual error? And how can we use this information in a safe, confidential, and non-punitive environment to tolerate, study, learn, and make sure that the system improves after each of these experiences? This is what aviation has done, and this is what I think we can learn from aviation. And the foundation of that is access to high-quality data that the flight data recorder and the voice recorder really provides, not only when there is an adverse outcome, not only when the plane crashed, but also in instances where the plane took off and landed and we as passengers didn't feel anything abnormal, but there were some factors or there were some aspects of that flight that could have resulted in an irreversible adverse outcome. So they've really done a great job with this transition from reactive to proactive. And this is our vision here in surgery and in healthcare in general.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, it's interesting that the leaders in patient safety often say that we really gain more from studying the near misses or the close calls than the actual ones, which is exactly what you're saying. The other interesting point, you talk about culture. And when you think about it, the culture in a cockpit anyway, it's pretty similar. Other than years of experience, if you think about the backgrounds of pilots, they're very similar. Walk into an OR and you have people with very different backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, right? Their experiences are different. So we really have much more of a cultural diversity, if you will, in many ways than you see in airlines. So there's a lot more for us to really understand about it, no question. So let's talk some specifics here, Theodore. If there is a role of AI in this black box, where do you see that? Where do you see AI either currently or in the future in the technology you're currently working with?
AI and various methodologies within AI are an essential part of our work. Just imagine we capture enormous amount of data, or black box acquires enormous amount of data, probably more than 10 gigabytes of data per hour per operating room.
Wow.
And it is impossible with hundreds of thousands of parameters relating to the skill of the surgeon, to the team interactions, the physiology of the patient, the performance of the devices, the decibel level in the room and humidity and temperature, unlimited number of factors. So it is impossible to study those with traditional statistical methods. It's impossible for a human to review hours and hours of video and extract meaningful learning opportunities there. And this is where I remember when we started the process, the first generation of the Aura Black Box was fully manual. So we reviewed the video. That was when I started, and when I was moving here from Toronto to California, I looked at all my old boxes from my time in residence in Denmark, and I found this VHS tape. Yeah. So I was sitting in my office.
Did you have a way to play it?
Reviewing VHS tapes, and you can imagine the black box is now in hundreds of ORs. It is impossible for human or group of humans to review those data points. So these new methodologies of computer vision, natural language processing, and other machine learning methodologies change the way we capture, process, analyze data, but also find aspects of a surgical procedure that are outside the norm and require deeper review.
Yeah, I can see it really playing a huge role. Just think about the average surgery of being a couple hours, the amount of data. And I suspect you're going to keep adding more things. You and I have talked about this, the idea of having a vest on a surgeon, right? And monitoring their heartbeat, much like an astronaut, because often we want to know what's happening with the surgeon, him or herself, that might impact how they act, how they operate. All these things are great opportunities. So I think it's exciting. And let's talk a little bit more specifically about things that are top of mind for patients, certainly wrong site surgery. What's been your experience with the OR Black Box and being able to help us prevent wrong site surgery? What aspects of your technology has been able to help with that?
Yeah, so that was one of the outcomes that we wanted to target early on. wrong side surgery. It's a bucket of events that we call mm-hmm. today never events. And I know some people have problems with that term. They're not never, but it's wrong side surgery, retained foreign objects, lost specimen. These are right. all catastrophic outcomes that are associated with a personal tragedy for both the patient, yeah. but also the surgical team,
of course.
And yeah. a massive economical burden for the hospital and society. So we knew that some of the initial work from Atul Gawande and the group in Boston with the surgical safety checklist, and this was the reason why they designed the surgical safety checklist, was yeah. to mm-hmm. eliminate some of these events or create a system that makes it very difficult for this to happen. So we hypothesized that if we implement the surgical safety checklist and ensure it is done as it should have been, we will reduce this. And we found a few surprising facts. Well, they were not that surprising, but we had for the first time the data. We found that, so usually today, checklist is mandated and hospitals yeah. are required to report their compliance. And usually I haven't seen a hospital that doesn't report anything less yeah. than 99.9%.
Of course compliance. Not.
so we found right. that the reality was very different. We found that right. hospitals, the real compliance was below 50%, sometimes 40, 30%.
Wow.
So obviously a tool that was designed and has been proven in scientific trials to be effective in reducing some of these catastrophic outcomes is not used as it should have been. So one of the things that Black Box does is it monitors not only compliance, but also engagement and quality of the surgical mm-hmm. safety checklist. So when we started communicating some of these findings, we found dramatic reduction in some of these never events. So it shows us that, number one, these events are much more prevalent than we think they are. Two,
right.
we have an effective tool that we haven't implemented today. And three, by improving our performance of the checklist and introducing some of these safety barriers, we can dramatically reduce some of these events. So there is hope, and I think it's one of the current initiatives in many healthcare institutions across the country and internationally to increase compliance, engagement, and quality of the surgical safety checklist and reduce some of these events that right. are still a major problem in surgery.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much more than just did you do it or not, right? It's really getting into the weeds of were they there and what kind of engagement was there, all the things that you want to really get out of this tool, the things that you want to. Excellent. So in our last few minutes, what message would you send to hospital patient safety leaders who are looking to incorporate this kind of technology in their operating rooms? How do they get started? What's your message to them?
I think there is a growing recognition that there are a lot of things in healthcare, and particularly in surgery, that we can and we should do better.
Mm.
And I think there is growing recognition that we shouldn't be doing things just because we've done them for hundreds of years. And we should be replacing these traditions and dogmas with data-driven decision-making. And we feel that the next big generational concept in healthcare, in surgery in particular, as a high-risk industry, is introducing high-quality, objective data in our daily work. And this is the mirror that we have to look at every morning and see yeah. where are we really, what is possible, and what are the things that we do well and we should celebrate as an organization, and things that we don't do so well and we should be investing in improvement. So this level of data-driven, targeted, individualized quality improvement is impossible without access to high-quality data, much more than the traditional manually input biased information yeah. that we practice today. So I think that combined with the cultural transformation, we see this movement across the country now towards establishing high reliability in healthcare. I think the combination of high reliability culture and access to high quality data will result in dramatic improvements in quality, safety, but also in wellness and satisfaction, and reestablish this important trust relationship between the patient and their healthcare provider. And I think those of us, those hospitals who recognize that and who adopt these new changes and methodologies will continue to develop and improve, and those who fail will face major challenges in the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the impact is in so many different ways. The data that's really something that a lot of physicians want to see more of. The transparency on the part of patients. I think it's a great message to send that we want to look at ourselves and take the black box, use the black box to open the black box, if you will. All right. So really, it's a great message. Yes. It's a great message, Teodoro. Listen, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, our audience, for joining us on this episode of AI in Healthcare. As the boundaries of innovation continue to expand, we'll be back with more insightful episodes featuring the latest updates on AI-driven healthcare. If you enjoyed this episode and want to be part of the ongoing conversation, visit our website, www.tdcg.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you all for listening to our Leading Voices in Healthcare podcast. Visit our website at thetdcgroup.com to learn more about the services we provide to healthcare professionals.